grace, mercy, and peace to you. From God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this day is Matthew 17. Here again the portion that reads, "He was still speaking. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud that said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him.' When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, 'Have no fear. Rise, have no fear.' And they lifted up their eyes, and they saw no one, but only Jesus. You may be seated. Is there any fear of God these days? According to Jean Edward Veith, many people don't even think of God in their daily lives. In his book, Authentic Christianity, he claims that much of our society, if one believes in God, they use therapeutic deism. Whoa, that's a complicated way of saying that God went ahead and created the world, set it in motion, and then took off someplace and enjoyed himself. That's deism. But the therapeutic part of it is that when we need him and we beg him, he will enter into our lives and take care of what we need or want. Therapeutic deism. Well, there's many people that operate that way, as if God is some way like a balloon of our lives. When we don't need him, we just have him on a string and we pull him down when we need him. Until we understand that our God is present everywhere. Let me illustrate. Do you ever notice what you do when you find yourself speeding? Besides slowing up on the gas, what's the next thing you do? Check around and see if there's any cops, right? Yes. And ever notice how people react when there is a cop sitting in between the two directions of the freeway? Yeah, everybody slows down. 55, 50, 45. Almost causes an accident just being there. They just go ahead and keep up with the speed limit. Oh, yeah, and then those conversations that we have with one another as we reminisce about what we used to do. If my parents only knew, they'd kill me. Yes, those in authority are God's representatives. And when we have that fear or that consciousness that we should be doing something else, yes, God works through them to curb our sinful nature or even stop us from doing any further damage. If we fear authorities, how much more we should be terrified of the God who created everything, the whole universe. You see, the fear of God is an innate part of our lives, an innate part of every human life. Even the very anger that an atheist gives that an atheist has is evidence of God. And yet, many people just go on with their lives ignoring the evidence, even denying that exists, and yet is still there. Hebrews 10:13 warns us, it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Well, what about coming up to the communion rail? Let us examine ourselves in the light of the transfiguration. How do the three disciples react to the transfiguration of Jesus? It's like going to a concert, right? You know, oh, and then you get to go backstage and even greet the artist. Hi, how are you? Oh, you've touched it. I'm never going to wash this hand again. Or maybe even going ahead, can I have your autograph? People want some way of remembering the moment. Well, some people treat communion that way. At least they want it to be that way. Some memorable moment. And some churches have even enshrined it like it's a museum. Something to be looked at. But the effect? Others treat it as a family heirloom. You know, it's something that we've always done together. No matter what church we are, we go to, without examining what that church believes, we just simply do it together. Paul warns the Corinthians and all of us of the power of the Lord's Supper. Whoever therefore eats of the bread and drinks of the cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats or drinks without discerning the body and blood, or body, drinks judgment upon himself. That's why many of you are weak and ill, he says, and some have died. But if we judge ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned with the rest of the world. The Lord's Supper has power. And yet, how does Peter react? Lord, shall we build 3 booths for you? You know, kind of like, hey, Jesus stepped here. Hey, Moses stepped here. Hey, Elijah was here. It's kind of like an American business model. Can you imagine all the people that would travel up to see those 3 places? But Peter's thoughts are interrupted. His speech is interrupted when the cloud descends by something greater. Cloud. They knew their scriptures very well. When a cloud appears and you hear a voice, the cloud that filled the temple when Solomon dedicated it, the cloud that came between the people of Israel and the Egyptian army, the cloud that descended on Mount Sinai, and the great and terrible voice that spoke from the cloud, his 10 words that we call his commandments. And how do the people react? Don't let him speak to us. Moses, you talk to him and you tell him, tell us what he said. Yeah, God, the authority speaks and the disciples are terrified. It's as if the disciples say, uh-oh, Dad's home, watch out. But what is it that God says? This is my son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. While they're being afraid, Jesus comes and touches them. And he says these words, rise and have no fear. And they lift up their eyes and they only see Jesus. What a relief. What a joy. To only feel, hear, and see Jesus. For those of us who have been instructed in the faith, even terrified by God's law, we know that Jesus is the only place to go. He is the only way we have to eliminate the fear. For we have learned from the scriptures that Jesus himself died for whatever wrong that we have committed, for every sin, and taken all the judgment that every person in the world and in life deserves. Here, in the Lord's Supper, it is the Lord's death that we proclaim, as we read in 1 Corinthians 11:27. It is here in Holy Communion that we receive what Jesus says. This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. On one hand, beware of anyone who would mock or take it lightly or wrongly, only being afraid of ruining family ties or what others think rather than the Word of God. Beware for those who feel they have no wrong. But for those of us who believe his words, it is a comfort. His word is a comfort. For here, in this communion, Jesus touches our lips with his own body, with his own blood, so that we no longer need to be afraid. He has settled everything with God the Father for us. God has accepted his sacrifice and raised him from the dead. Not only that, He ascended into heaven to the right hand of God, the Father. You know what that means? That there's a human being next to God. And he has not lifted his hand against him. And all who are touched by this Jesus, who are given his blood for the forgiveness of sins, need not fear. But of course, there are many of us that have not or are not able to come to communion. But here again, we're reminded what Jesus has done by his word connected with water. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There, God touches us so that we are taken from the clutches of hell and made his own child. Yes, a child of the Heavenly Father. And also, God has also touched you by the word of absolution. Are you afraid of the wrongs and sins that will find you out? God already knows, and he's already taken care of them. We've already confessed our sins, and there we have heard also his forgiveness. So when you look at God, you only see Jesus. And so when you approach the day, and you approach the week, and the mess that maybe you have made, or maybe other people have gotten you into, you can approach it with confidence. Because Jesus has touched you. Do not fear. Rise. By the word, Jesus has touched you. In Jesus, we have peace with God. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
For information about our congregation, for service times and schedule, please visit our website at www.standrewlcms.org. Thank you for listening to sermons preached at St. Andrew Lutheran Church in West Fargo, North Dakota, a member of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.